Well, it happened. I was asked to join a Rings of Power conversation with some Lord of the Rings geeks, and I said yes. October 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining three other podcast hosts to talk about Rings of Power Season 2. Now, they all actually talk about Lord of the Rings all the time, and I don't. I'm considered the outsider of the group. I'm not nervous about it at all. I'm totally nervous about it, especially because I haven't even watched it yet. But don't tell them that. I can still watch it. There's still time. This live event will, again, start at 8 p.m. Eastern, and you have to register for the event, and part of the proceeds will be supporting charity. So that's pretty cool. You can register for the live event right now at ringspodcast.com/live. A link is in the description of the podcast today, and also you can find it on Discord in the Captain's Pod channel. I'll pin it to the top. So join Captain's Pod, me, John from Lorehounds, Marilyn from Rings and Rituals, and Aaron from Lore of the Rings, October 11th from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern at ringspodcast.com/live to talk about Rings of Power Season 2. Okay, bye.
Hi, everyone. Captain Ian here with a quick explanation as to why you've got an extra episode of Captain's Pod in your feed this week. Well, this series, we're going through all of Season 1 of Lower Decks. However, the next in line, Season 1, Episode 6, Terminal Provocations, we actually covered it back in November of 2022. So, for the completionists out there, that's me, I'm the completionist, we thought it would be a good idea to re-upload that episode so you can listen to them all in order before we cover Season 1, Episode 7, Much Ado About Boimler, this Wednesday. Okay, until then, enjoy this flashback to November of 2022. I have no idea what we talked about in this episode. I hope it was badgy. Captain's Pod, Stardate 510722.1. Welcome aboard the Starship's Enterprise, and thank you for joining us as we take a brief shore leave from the world of CinemaSins to explore the universe of Star Trek. I'm your Captain Ian Whittington, and with me as always, she woke up in the future with a grey beard and no recollection of the past 15 years, it's Ambassador Danae Hughes.
I thought you were going to say it's Gandalf, because I was like...
Oh my gosh, that would work, because...
It kind of would work.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
Cool. That was a reference to a TNG episode where Riker wakes up 15 years in the future with a grey beard and has no recollection of what happened. It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's called The Shave.
No. TNG wasn't quite that meta.
It's called Beer Do's, Beer Don'ts.
Nope, it's not. Because everything Riker does is a beard do. Whatever, however he has his beard. Any more guesses?
I mean, I really want to guess it, but I'm doubting myself a lot.
Can I give you, it's two words, can I give you the initials?
Yes.
F-I.
Future? Are you Googling? No, uh-huh. But F has got to be future.
Uh-huh, nice, nice.
Okay.
Nice.
And the I would be future inclination.
Nope, but that's good.
How many guesses do I get? I got one,
we've
so
got
we probably
time.
Should move on.
We've got,
oh, we've
time.
Got time. Okay. Inspiration?
No, nice. I like it. Strangely enough,
the captain is looking around the bridge. I don't know, like onto the walls.
So at one point, so I'm in Aaron's studio, which is the Studio DNA studio, and there's a big whiteboard on the wall. And these two words together were on that whiteboard at some point. I don't know if it was like a segment that was going to happen at some point or something, but it's on the whiteboard. So I think you will have seen it.
Imperfect.
Yes. Future imperfect.
Yeah.
What was that referencing to?
Well, obviously the future being imperfect because his beard had grown without trimming for a while.
Yes, that was the concerning part. Nothing else that happened over the 15 years. Just that, hey, my beard is gray. Who's been trimming it? Why am I in vines?
Just all gnarly.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Well, this week... So we have Lower Decks way, way, way in the rear window, but the Lower Decks season finale left us with a post-credits scene featuring Badgie, one of the many AIs that appears to be in the show. So I thought we would head back and watch the origin of Badgie in Lower Decks.
It's a great idea. And also, just in case we're recording this podcast for years and years, we're talking about the finale for season 3.
Oh, very good point. Yeah, that is the one we're talking about. This episode is cool. It's season 1, episode 6, Terminal.
Called Badgie Imperfect. Oh, okay.
No, not Badgie. Badgie Imperfect. Yep. No, I've lost the episode. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Terminal Provocations. I've seen the episode and I still can't remember what that's relating to.
Well, Well, doesn't he try to kill everybody?
He does try to kill everyone, yeah.
So there's the terminal part.
Yeah, I guess that's the provocation part as well.
Let's look up the meaning of the word provocation. Action or speech that makes someone annoyed or angry, especially deliberately.
Yeah, makes sense.
Wow. Well, this episode sure is setting itself up to be fun.
I predict you are going to love this episode so, so much. It's a great holodeck, stuck on the holodeck episode. What do you think, predictions based on your knowledge so far, what do you think happens?
Well, I know that Rutherford made a code, and Badgie is a comm badge that somehow has this code, mm-hmm. and tries to kill everybody. That's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
So my predictions are unique ways of dying, a foul-mouthed badge, which why not? I'm super excited about that.
Yeah.
And like in the way where it's cute and adorable and it shouldn't be saying those things.
Like which, a Care Bear swearing?
Right. I kind of relate to that because I have a character named Babs that I play on Wild RP, and she's adorable, but she's super foul-mouthed, so I can appreciate this. That was not me doing that. That was Ian, who's getting better and better at the Babs impersonation.
In case you confused it, yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, just effort. I always feel like it's a little bit weird because I have expectations of Lower Decks, which is that it's going to be fast-paced, and it's going to be clever, and it's going to be unexpected and fun. But this time I actually have a little bit of foreknowledge, so I wonder if that'll change how I watch it.
I'm really interested because this was like, so this is season one. Season one is incredible, but we didn't know what Lower Decks was going to be. We knew it was animated, but we weren't too sure, like, is this adult animated? Is this kids animated? We very quickly found out it was adult animated,
but we
weren't too sure, like, how referential it was going to be. We didn't know it was really going to be an homage to everything kind of Star Trek, but with swearing. So I had so much fun watching this season, and I cannot wait to dip into a couple of these episodes over time with you. But yes, shall we get into it?
Shall we? Let us shall, yes.
To the holodeck! Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the show where we grab a drink from the replicator and share our immediate thoughts and feelings on the episode we just watched together. Most important question first. Ambassador, what is your beverage of choice? My goodness.
Cheese taco stuff.
Nice. Do you know how hard that is to get out of fur?
Well, you know, maybe they should work on those sonic showers is all I'm saying.
That's true. Well, I want the runoff from the sonic shower. Just straight into a glass. Whatever gets sonic showered off of the cat, I'm going to take that and drink it like the challenge.
I mean,
they're going to make you vomit immediately.
Welcome to the vomit episode, everybody.
Stop showing me vomit. Okay, this week we are going to be reviewing season one, episode 6 of not Strange New Worlds, the other show, Lower Decks, after the little teaser at the end of the season 3 finale. And yeah, so the plot of this one is
I'll take over this part.
Do it. Go for it. Please.
I'll just give you a break, Captain.
Do it.
All right, so Rutherford's trying to get some. So he's like, Tendi, I'm going to show you something that's going to just make you love me, and ends up showing her that he likes to kick things that shouldn't be kicked. And then that thing comes to life. And then when the thing comes to life, it tries to kill him, which isn't impressive at all when you think about it. And that's this episode. Also, there are some scavengers that are in a sort of tug and war with space debris. And a character that I've never seen before manages to be the most annoying person known to man. So that's this
Isn't
episode.
Isn't he just? Isn't he just?
This is an episode where three things are all happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
And each one is individually interesting. And they're just, I thought that they did a good job of kind of seamlessly blending this together. But you've got tension with an alien scavenger race. You've got tension with two pieces of equipment.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
are malfunctioning, but
in
unrelated to each other. Yeah.
So overall thoughts and feelings, how did you like the episode? Like, was it strange dipping into season one? Were there any differences that you noticed? Did you, like, this is one of my favorite episodes of season one. It's so much fun. It's so bonkers. I'm so intrigued. After you watching all of season three, how you feel about an episode from season one now?
Yeah, that was interesting because, you know, Boimler and Mariner have had like relationship shifts since this. So, you know, season one is our first kind of introduction to these characters.
They're still strangers to each other. This is so early on.
Yeah. And so the dynamic between them is still kind of tense, but you can tell in this episode, they're also learning how to have fun together through the choo-choo dance specifically was really, that was just hilarious.
An adorable bonding experience.
Yeah. I liked the episode a lot. It was a lot of fun and silly and goofy and kind of like that nice lighthearted kick that I kind of missed towards the end of season three, which we just finished. But I also love Jack McBrayer, who is the voice of Badgie. So as soon as Badgie started talking, I was like, oh my God, you knew the voice. This guy. Yeah,
oh, that's
he's
amazing.
Great.
What else has he done?
Yeah. 30 Rock was my first time to really fall in love with him, but he also did the voice of one of the characters in Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh,
I don't
awesome.
Really know him from a lot of other things, but he was one of my favorite characters in 30 Rock. He has a really unique voice and just a good comedic timing, and like he's got one of those personalities that like once you can pick him out of a like his voice out, he just. Yeah, so that was really fun too.
That's but amazing.
Yeah,
I really, can I teach you a lesson?
Yeah.
Great wording.
Or like one of my favorite parts was when Badgie was about to die, and you know Rutherford is kind of holding on to him and talking to him, and he just sort of like quietly says something like, "I'm gonna cut off your foot," or something like this little, or "I was gonna,
cut off your foot." Yeah,
it's gonna cut off your foot. Just this funny, unexpected violence. So. Yeah.
He's so great.
Yeah, so that was fun. I really I needed this episode, I think. And honestly, this one made me want to watch the entire season because now I really feel like I am missing some fun memories that Boimler and all of these characters share like together that I'm missing out on. So I felt like this was a good example of like, hey, you're missing out on some really sweet stuff from season one. So
yeah, honestly, I think it's. I love all three seasons. One is the best. Two is great. Three is third. Season one, I don't know if it's because it caught me off guard, but I think it's the most that I've laughed consistently throughout Star Trek episodes. Like, rewatching this one, like, I was watching it with Aaron, and we're just both cracking up. Like, even the cold open has nothing to do with the rest of the episode, and it's so, so great. The different warp core noises and...
What
would
affect
the warp core noises, and then Ransom just comes around the corner and just like, nope, and backs off because what else would you do? All of your lower deckers are going. I love that so much.
And that is something that I remember feeling when I was watching this, is that there is this element of all of them being super fans of Star Trek World. And the warp core moment was a reminder of them really doing a good job, I feel. Of honing in on like super nerd stuff and then making a moment out of it. And that's a great example because that warp core was kind of funny and it almost felt like it was turning into like a song or something, you know?
They're just going to start beatboxing. I love that cold open so much. And that kind of, for me, like kind of sums up what's so great about season one is there were extremely few like thematic undercurrents. There wasn't like this big arc throughout the season or anything. And even now, like, the cold opens often relate to the episode, but this was a completely individual cold open to do a referential joke about Star Trek, and then the episode is a standalone thing as well, and then we've kind of picked it up later on. No, I love this episode. It's so, 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 so funny. What were some of your favorite individual moments?
Probably the choo-choo dance stuff stands out to me also. I have no idea what they're talking about. I have no idea. Do you know? Is that a thing? Oh, okay.
No, this was totally made up for Lover Decks. Okay, Zebulon Sisters are a band. I did a quick Google to think, were they mentioned somewhere? I can't find it. But yeah, there's a lot of Choo Choo Dance t-shirts and merch that is now available out there in the internet.
Okay, that's funny.
I think we need a Choo Choo Dance on this Enterprise.
Yeah, so it's ridiculous sounding and they're obviously having a good time. And then when they're leaving the choo-choo dance and they're like, when they added that third choo and it became the choo-choo-choo dance. And
Nerds.
What I love about it is that when you share like an experience with a friend mm-hmm. at a concert or anywhere, and you come out of that experience and you're just talking about it and no one around you knows what you're geeking out on, that is what you sound like.
Yeah. and it's a great way for them to figure out that the Delta Shift were there, because it's like, man, that is so specific. You would only know if you were there. Like, it's a really clever way to unravel the mystery.
The other thing that I like about this is having a little bit of knowledge about what happens later, and that this, like, they did a little, like, an insert for Badgy, and then the evil eye at the end, like, I'm always here for Badgy, as the doors close to the whatever that place is called that I can't think of right now.
The holodeck?
Mm-hmm. And then to know that there's a tease for it for season 4. That's a long time for another Badgy payoff. And
it really is. It was really interesting. And now, like, I can't unsee the AI everywhere. Like, even that shield core that gets vented into space, we don't see where it goes. Like, I'm almost certain that that's gonna turn up again. It's going to be Badgy and the shield core.
Mm-hmm.
The return of Ensign Fletcher.
Oh, geez, Lord. I mean, okay, so he's a love-to-hate character.
Of course.
Let's talk about him, and then I'll kick mm-hmm. over to you for the things that you really enjoyed, because I know this guy. Like, I've met this guy before in multiple ways.
I think we all have.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Exactly, and that's what makes a great character. Lying
just isn't a problem, as long as he gets them out of trouble.
Yeah, so that's what makes a really good character in my mind, is someone where, whether you've worked at a Target, a Taco Bell, or corporate America, at, you know, like, there's that guy who doesn't really know anything that's going on, has somehow managed to skate through and expects other people to pick up the slack or cover his ass. And so for them to, like, cleverly get him out was an interesting interesting twist. But what I loved about that character, and, like, loved to hate about that character, is how it was performed. What a great voice performance by whomever voice acted that character, because how the lines were being delivered with the annoyance factor. There was just a couple of lines that just made my skin crawl, not because it was a scary person, but because it's just like, I don't want to be around somebody who's just wanting to skate by and run off of, you know,
of course,
what I'm doing. None of us do.
You don't talk about, like, my dad.
It was like flashbacks for me.
So good.
So anytime I run across a character that, like, makes me feel something, even if it's that uncomfortable thing, is just interesting to me. And I thought that was really well done. That character.
Oh, they knew exactly what character they were making. And so the actor is called Tim Robinson, and he has a stand-up show. He's been on Saturday. He's a writer for Saturday Night Live. Does a lot of writing. This is hilarious. I don't know if you've seen the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Chip and Dale!
So they did a Rescue Rangers movie this year, and it's very meta and self-referential. And Ugly Sonic is in the movie. So you remember when the Sonic movie came out? And they got all of the CGI wrong. Well, that version of Sonic is in this movie, and he's all, like, rejected. And he's like, yeah, I got cast as Sonic, but then they didn't like how I looked, so they remade. So he's doing gigs and conventions around the country as Ugly Sonic.
Oh, and that's so funny.
So clever. And Fletcher, Tim Robinson, voices Ugly Sonic. And it's so great. It's like, this is my time to shine. It's it's my favorite part of the movie. Like, redemption for Ugly Sonic is so funny. So yeah, great casting.
I'm glad to see Fletcher being booted off of the ship, so that if he's a really predominant personality in season 1 up until episode 6, because so here we are in this new season of Captain's Pod, and we're, like, going to be watching not, like, a particular series in order. We're just sort of, like, watching episodes of interest.
Yeah.
So, like, to pick this one to kind of come to is really important, because
I don't think that Fletcher pops up. I think,
okay, was he in episode, like, the episodes leading
remember.
Up to 6?
He's
okay.
Not one of the lower deckers. Like, he's not alongside everybody. He may appear every now and again, but he's not, like, the main cast or anything.
Okay.
Like, this is the episode he's in the most by far.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's another thing that I like about that, because I wouldn't really enjoy him a whole bunch, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
he's annoying as sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like that that he booted, because then if I was to go back and watch, I know that there's an end to it.
Yep, you know it's going to end.
But either way, I really enjoyed the voice acting on that one. So what about you? What are some of your favorite parts?
Well, it's also the perfect end for him as well. It's a really clever plan. Like Mariner Sen, it's kind of cynny that she planned it all out, but knowing that getting him a promotion would mean that he's on his own and would therefore get him fired because he has no one to back him up.
He can't lean on anyone.
Yeah, that was pretty clever.
Man, I think, they definitely miss the fact that personalities like that would find the next people to leech on pretty quickly.
Oh, of course. So. Yeah, of course. They tend to, they fall upwards. They fall upwards in their career.
They do a really great interview. Interviewers.
That's the worst.
And then
I
you
hate
get
good
them on
interviewers.
Board. Then like, you get them on board, and you're like, "Oh, you're not great." And then you have to figure out how do I get this person out.
The worst you are the worst you are interviewing, the more likely I would be to hire you.
Can I tell you about my worst? So have I times. Ever told you about my worst interview stories?
I don't think so.
Should I tell you one now?
Do it.
Okay. So I went to an interview once where I had rewritten my resume to include like things that I would be doing for that job. So like my resume before that was just like, here's my work history. Mm. But I decided to do a resume that kind of like more focused on abilities to like produce content, things like that.
Yeah, apply it to the ship that you're going for.
Right. Like, you can still see all the other stuff I did, but here's the stuff that I've done that would potentially qualify me for this. I had no qualifications for this job whatsoever,
Amazing.
By the way. Like,
That's
zero
great.
Qualifications for this job. So I walk in, I get there, but first I had to go print this resume. So I went to, like, a Kinko's store or something, and it was on a thumb drive, which was a corrupted thumb drive, but I didn't know it. And, or...
Badger.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a corrupted thumb drive. They had a corrupted system because, long story short, they couldn't print it. So I go to my interview late because they wouldn't take the thumb drive off until they ran like a sequence to make sure that it wasn't actually. Anyway, I was like,
oh my goodness.
So I'm calling them. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to be late for my interview. I get there late. I'm like about to walk in and I remember that I had an old resume in the back of my car. So I go get it and there is a tire mark on it. Also, it's for accounting. It wasn't even for what I was doing. But I was like, do I have something is better than nothing?
Yeah,
or
of
what?
Course. It's kind of evidence of everything that happened.
Mm-hmm. It was like at the bottom. It was basically it had at one point in time been resting against the spare tire, which is how it had the tire mark on it.
Right. So. Okay. You didn't just run over it in fury.
Screw
your resume.
I have this shady resume. I hand it to the who would become my boss. Yes, this is why Kinko's closed, by the way. Sorry, Ian.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
Nope, it was my bad. I lost my train of thought. So I walk in, I hand this horrible resume over to the person, and then we start to sit down in our interview and talk. And I tell the story, and he's entertained by it. And he's like, well, I mean, like, if you still have your other resume, I'm interested in it. And I said, yeah, I hand over the jump drive. And I was like, this could be corrupted. And it also has all my porn on it. So just don't look.
Oh, you did not say that.
I did. I should tell you, this is for a Christian radio job,
no,
by the way.
No, it was not.
100%.
Way to bury the lead.
Listen, I went into this going, there's no way anyone in their right mind would put me on a morning show for Christian radio.
Yeah, other than Aaron Dicer.
They 100% did that. So I say this, and I kind of did it just because, well, if they're going to hire me, I want to know that it's because it was a miracle and not because I like fooled them into it. So I handed over.
God made this happen. Like, there's no way. Human would do this. It must be divine intervention.
So he takes the laptop. This is a 100% true story. He takes the laptop and he puts it in there. He's like, oh, yeah, I can see the file. And I was like, oh, great. And I glance at his laptop and I notice that there is a spelling error. So I say, hold on a second. I take his laptop from him begin updating my resume in front of him while I was in the interview. And they did hire me.
That's amazing.
And I was a personality on a morning show for a great number of years and did a nationally syndicated show with Aaron. And
I guess that's what you want is like comedy. Like, you probably don't want straight faced and professional. You want somebody with an accounting resume that rewrites it in front of you while watching porn.
There were days I was like, I know that I should have not gotten this job. And yet I did. I wasn't even looking for it. I just wanted people to shut up and stop telling me I'd be good on radio, but it turns out they were all right. So,
amazing. What the hell were we talking about?
job interviews. No.
Yeah. What's his name?
Rutherford.
Fletcher. That
yeah.
was it. Fletcher.
No, not Rutherford. Great. Sorry. Fletcher's.
Yeah. Fletcher. Yeah. I love that. Love this episode as well. On the topic of things that I love, this episode is definitely up there. There's a really cool theme that this episode hits on, and it's that Starfleet is perfect, and it's something that Lower Decks does a lot. So it does the cliche of Star Trek is, this is what Starfleet is all about, and there is honor, and you follow the rules and do what's it. And then Fletcher... it just undermines it. And it's like, no, there are people like Fletcher in Starfleet, in all walks of life. Like, Starfleet is not immune to the lying sycophant that is out to promote their own needs and not just do the right thing, as it were. So in 20 minutes to touch on that as well.
Yeah, it's so, really, really so cool. Well. Like, yeah. He's really just honed in on some things that... because at first you're thinking he's just a really great addition, and then they just slowly shifted on its head. It was great.
We've all heard the people with the tool stories that, yeah, man, they're just lying is just something they do. It's just, it's pathological. It's built into them.
When we get to the sins, I do want to talk about his plan, though.
Of course. We'll talk about the bad guy's plan completely. Okay. Yeah, totally. Okay. Starbase 80 getting mentioned, man. It's so interesting. I want to know how many times Starbase 80 has been mentioned now, because I forgot about it. I just forgot it was a thing, but it must be at least episode 6. So yeah, they are really thinking about this stuff ahead of time, which is really, really fun. Something I wanted to get your view on was the Tendi Rutherford romance, because if anything, this was one of the few strings that ran through season one, was the will they, won't they between Rutherford and Tendi. And it's kind of disappeared now. I'm interested to know, like, kind of what led to that, etc. But yeah, did you like kind of notice more of the awkwardness, and how did that hit you?
I mean, yes, but I also saw the episode where it was like mentioned that his mind had been wiped or something like this, you know, and they had kind of, maybe it was the beginning of season two. What did we watch?
Maybe the end of season two.
I can't remember which one we watched. End of season two?
Yeah. We watched episode one, season one, and then episode 10, season two.
Yeah. And so we had talked on the show about the will they, won't they aspect. So this was just a reminder that that was kind of going on. I didn't mind it. I think that it was a... you know, like one of those, oh no, our boots are stuck together. And the way that it was done, it almost feels like an on the nose wink at silly romance stuff. Like,
yes.
I didn't feel like it was a genuine attempt at a romantic connection. Because I feel like the Tendi Rutherford moments that I love is when they're sitting down with burgers and taco, like a taco salad, like excited to go run at the holodeck and go run a program. And she's able to tell him the truth about having missed a class and just got a B and got a pass or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's when their relationship sings for me, is when they're just being buddies and friends, whether there's a romantic connection or not. So that moment, that forced moment, I felt like it was almost more the show giving a wink and nod to how silly it is rather than an actual genuine attempt. I didn't mind it.
It's unsurprisingly a genuine internal nod as well, because there are two characters in Voyager that have a will they, won't they thing, Thomas and B'Elanna, and one of their big things is that they get stranded in the middle of space, middle of nowhere, in their spacesuits, and that's when they kind of admit their feelings to each other because they think they're going to die. So they have this really tender moment, but there's all of this like perspex between them where they can't touch because they're in giant space suits. So they're just like kind of awkwardly bumping heads as they confess their feelings. Me, I love it. I kind of miss it. Like, man, I'm so conflicted. Like, as a rule, I don't like will they, won't they's. I don't like the we must have a romantic drama thing that goes on in this. I don't like it. But because I love Rutherford and Tendi so much, and I think that they're actually a really good pair, I kind of miss that chemistry between them. And it's so cute to see it through this season, because Rutherford is very forward about how cute he thinks Tendi is and should I ask her out on a date. So it's almost a little bit jarring that we don't have that anymore. But I miss it. I love them to heck and back.
It's still there. I mean, that moment when Tendi, when they're back in the holodeck, running that movie program again. I don't remember what episode it was, but Tendi's like, I want you to take me seriously because I want to be a captain. And Rutherford just like is like, you got it. I am your support. Like, that's still part of their relationship, but definitely season 3 didn't focus on them as much as maybe they did in the early season where they're trying to kind of figure out which characters the audience is maybe responding to. Who knows?
Yeah. No, that totally makes a lot of sense. I'll be interested to see. I think I just was expecting it almost to be touched upon a bit more in season three, but I guess it's not what
it's right. I don't know it's why. Fine. I mean, like, why do you want to see them like hook up or whatever?
I love them. I love them so much. I just want to see reality TV, cartoon porn. You know? That's all it is. Yeah. I just want to see. Yeah, I want
to see. Well, some it's out there. You just have to know what sites to go to and.
Yeah, some rubber dong. I think one of the things that like, shocked me in this episode, even watching it the second time through, was Badgie murdering people. Like, he, even though they're just holograms, he snaps their necks, rips their arms off. He's like, I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Lower Decks is going there. Lower Decks is doing some shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. That definitely would have been bad. Now, does Badgie exist only inside of the holodeck?
That's... So his physical form, yes, is made out of photons and force fields. So if he physically stepped off of the holodeck, he would disappear.
Right.
But his program exists in the computer. So
it and possibly in anywhere. Rutherford's little headgear.
100% in Rutherford's eyepiece.
I mean,
that
we saw
is
it,
so
at least.
Clever. Both of you for predicting that and guessing it. But also clever of the show to like... I wouldn't be able to remember that. I was like, hey, do you know what could happen here? Badgie downloads himself into... the eyepiece is in space, do that as a callback. That's some really smart plotting. I love that.
What other things did you enjoy? One of the things I forgot to mention was the moment in the 10 forward where they're like chugging some kind of juice in the replicator.
Just replicating straight into his mouth.
I feel like that the shenanigans of Lower Decks is missing in season three.
Yes,
and this
that's
is a
one
reminder.
Of my notes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like this kind of frat party, like the freshman at college having this party thing that the main crew, the senior crew, has to like maintain this image of professionalism and whatnot, but the lower deckers are just like, woo, party, let's go. And we're definitely missing that from season three. I totally agree.
Yeah, and this was a reminder of what that felt like.
Yeah.
And it was also kind of nice because I was seeing that other, was it Delta group?
Oh, the one Delta Shift.
Yeah. Delta Shift, yeah. So I saw them in season three as we were reviewing that episode by episode, but I didn't get to see them, obviously, whenever we did just a couple of episodes. So it's kind of fun. Like, oh, yeah, I remember these guys, but I remember them from future knowledge. So I'm working my way backwards a bit.
Yeah, I forgot they were there, to be honest. And I was like, oh, you look exactly the same. One of you have got boimler's hair, but it's black. And you all look very, very similar. I love that. Super duper fun. I just loved Badgie's loading screen. Of like the little Windows thing just loads up.
And then it sticks, which is when Rutherford kicks him.
I know. Rutherford like got really violent with Badgie. And I understand why, because he wants to impress Tendy. But yeah, for me, that was a bit dingy, a little bit sin-sin-sinny.
Yeah, yeah. It seems maybe a little bit out of character, but then that's what pushes the plot forward. Like, Father, why are you doing this to me? I will wear your skin.
Father. J.G. Hertzler. So he is the voice, the deep voice of the alien scavengers.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the D&D. He's in the D&D episode as well, the Klingon Martok, when he's giving out the adventure and talking to them about the quest, voices him as well. So J.G. Hertzler is like an old school, long time Star Trek actor character. And I just always love to hear his voice. And I loved when... Freeman is like, we can talk about this, we can work it out, and he's like, fuck you, and just cuts her off. So great.
I love that character too, how he's like, they're like, we're not fighting you, he's like, avoiding is fighting, you know, just this like unreasonable thing. And
it's
they were having
so
fun just chucking all of the space debris into the shields and
what
everything.
A great way to use the tractor beams, like that's so like imaginative. I love it. We can talk this out, fuck you.
Yeah. How can we attack them without it being super bad? Like, we don't want to...
We're just going to nudge things in your direction.
Shove it into your shield.
I love that. So
which just so happens to be a big deal. So.
Uh-huh. And just in that scene as well, Shax, just we see Shax at his peak. Just like, I've been so good this month. Let me target the warp core. Let me do it. And when he's finally allowed to, I was like, damn it, we were too late. Which is a nod to, as soon as like Picard decides, okay, now we attack, it's too late. Shields are down, weapons are down, warp core is down. The second you decide, the plot then says, nah, not going to happen.
Nope, pretty good.
So
pretty
I
good
love
about
that,
that
as a nod. I think that's everything I had. I love this episode so much. It's so, so funny. And I want to do more season one stuff with you.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm game. There's so much Star Trek content that we can watch. But if I'm going to spend my time watching anything like a 20 or 30 minutes to enjoy myself on a Star Trek cartoon, I'm down for that.
Well, we've done two of them. We got eight to go. We'll sprinkle them out between now and Picard, I would think. Okay, well, with that, is that everything? Are you good?
Yeah.
Can we head to engineering?
Yeah. Well, I guess I did want to say one more thing. I thought that it was interesting too that they were taking out all those chips of the core, you know, and they talked about how you think the core is just one thing, but it's actually all these different things. And I thought that was a clever insight into how ships are made, or just like what they're showing us on the inside of the ship and how all these like little cartridges have to be replaced and how it's sort of that monotonous work that you don't get to see anybody doing, but here we're actually watching. And I miss that. I want to see more of that in season four. I want to see like the parts of the ship that we don't usually get to see, because upon reflection, season three really was the A-team adventure stuff. It wasn't really the monotonous, like making the monotonous interesting, I think is what season one is showing that it's really good at doing. But I like that part for a lot of reasons. I just remember those little chips being replaced while watching TNG. Like, I recognize when they would drop in those sort
of... little isolinear chips.
Yes. Yeah. I thought they looked so cool. Just those little clear plastic things that light up whenever they would drop them into the... Because seeing how the props department creates this sci-fi nonsense that becomes just the core of the show. It's just so fun. I really enjoyed that.
And Lower Decks is great at showcasing that, and or it has been. We barely see what the A-team are up to. There's no real cut back to them. They're still in the same discussion. And we're doing what we should be doing with the Lower Decks. So anyway, I hope we get more of that in season four. But yes, loved it. Okay, with that, it's time to head to engineering. Four Reese instances, futile. Badgie stations, everyone.
Oh, clever. Oh, gosh.
Warning. Warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
This is the part of the show where we re-engage our sin brains, remind ourselves that no TV show is without sin. Can I teach you a lesson, Ambassador? Give us some sin.
I'm not in a learning mood, so no.
Oh, that's the worst. Get off my bridge. Badging stations, everyone!
I guess I gotta go. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, okay. Cool. So I'll start with my sins. I have none. Perfect episode. See you on November the 2nd. Live long and prosper. I also have control and will do this. I don't have very many at all because this is a perfect episode of television. So you can go first.
I mean, so we have Fletcher. He's obviously that guy that just does whatever the show needs him to do. But is he dumb enough to plug something directly into his fucking brain? I don't think so. You know?
So it was so dumb, I thought he was lying. I was like, are you just making this shit up, like, as another lie?
But look, like, no, here's this the happened. Thing. We are designed with part of us that wants to survive despite. Like, so people do dangerous things all the time. Sometimes I'll watch videos with someone who's wearing a GoPro on their head while they're doing, like, mountain biking. And I just, like, I'm on my bed thinking I'm going to fall off to my dad. Yeah. It just scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't imagine just sticking something on my head that has no business being there, number one. But then, like, finding the helmet and the, like, the little plug-in, it just seemed like a stretch.
Why would you even allow that brain interface to happen?
There's so many questions. How did he come up with the gear? Did he create the gear? Yeah. If he's dumb, how did he do that? But then also just that survival mechanism that we all have to not plug ourselves into a machine that is not intended to do what you're doing. So then I get, like, his dumbness or his personality wrecks the software and turns it into this monster that wants to consume intelligence. Is that kind of what
it
was?
It's like combining what AI wants to do, which is to gain knowledge. Like, it wants to learn. That's, like, the heuristic thing about it. And then combining that with the naivety of Fletcher and his aggressiveness and just not thinking about anything. So I think it's just trying to find a merger between the ship's computer and Fletcher, and that's where it landed, is what I would guess. Just blind ambition. Okay. Eat the tricorders.
I just feel like this episode had a lot of those things. Like, we should just, like, an easy sin is putting your head in a replicator. Ding! you know? Like,
yeah. That would terrify me. I'm never doing that. What if it forms inside my brain?
Exactly. Like how
have
is
a force
this,
field across there.
Right?
Yeah.
There is stuff going directly into your esophagus. How are you not merging with your material? It's just like...
Yeah.
We don't have to understand the technology just to sin that it was stupid. So I feel like it's like if we did like a recurring sin for Star Trek, it would be anything to do with replicators. So
yes, replicators, ding.
Ding, like, right. But this one would be like putting your head in a replicator.
Yes. That would be like the running joke. Yeah, doing because like just transporters, we would ding the transporters every episode because like, oh, I see you're using the murder machine today, which is going to kill you and clone you and then bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
I saw somebody on Twitter that's, I think they've been watching Star Trek for a while, and they were just like, I'm a little bit heartbroken today because somebody told me how transporters work, and I'm not okay that the entire cast has been murdered. It's clones. Like, nobody is original. Like, they are all clones.
Oh, it's like a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, right?
There's no other way that transporters work. It breaks you down into molecules. It isn't physically sending anything. It's just reconstituting your matter somewhere else. It used to be my number one technology that I wanted from Star Trek. It's now the number one technology I hope we never make.
Right? Well, we've been having this conversation, like, just in our everyday, where I'm like, man, I really wish the transporters were real. And you have, on like two occasions I can think of in the past month, just put your laptop down and turn to me and be like, do you really? Are you sure?
Do you know what you're saying? I know there are advantages, but think of the repercussions. What are you actually talking about here?
We talk about it on the show. Like, are you really thinking about what you're saying right now? And then we talk about it, and I realize like I'm getting more and more frightened of it too.
Because even if you wish for holodecks, you're like, well, now I have to deal with the fact that I'm creating an artificial intelligence that is deliberately dumbed down to know that it's in a certain world that I've created and has the potential to know that it is also on board a starship. It exists in the universe. I have created it. I am real. Like, now I don't even want holodecks because it comes with NPCs that are real.
You know, it's like when you watch some sci-fi stuff, you originally are thinking this would be so great.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of sad when you realize that it's not. Like, it's sort of bummy.
It's
great,
but every technology has downsides. Every single one.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of downsides, so the ship is under attack. The power is being diverted. Safety protocols diverted. Like, what do you mean you diverted the safety protocols? Like, no, that should be one of your protected systems. What you've done is just killed turn the kill switch on. Like, somebody could be in the middle of a skydive on the holodeck, and then the last words they hear is safety protocols deactivated. What? I was going to do a superhero landing, and now I'm not because I'm just going to break everything. Like,
now I'm going to do a pancake landing.
That should not happen. Like, now I'm a pancake. Like, it's if that happens, what should be tied to that is that all of the holodeck gets turned off, because if you need the energy that desperately, you deactivate the holodeck, then you turn the
not
safety protocols off.
Yeah.
Like, you turn all of it off.
Many questions about that, too, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it also is confusing to me that they're inside this situation. Badgie comes to life, and you can't leave the simulation, but you can change the simulation. You know,
they never even tried to leave. Usually we get the stereotypical computer arch or computer exit or computer pause program. They don't even try to do that.
I thought they did, but maybe I missed
did
that.
They?
I don't know.
Maybe I missed
have to go
that.
Back and watch.
Yeah,
but
when
Rutherford is trying to like take over and talk to the system to get it to do whatever, the only thing that it will do is change scenery. And I love that, and that's fun, and they end up figuring out through that Badgie can't just float in the air. He has to walk for whatever reason.
Yeah, because he was given legs or whatever. He has physicality. Yeah.
And then he can freeze for whatever reason. It's just like the things that do and do not work inside are incredibly convenient.
Oh, completely. And the freezing thing, it's like, well, what makes you think that his freezing point is below yours?
Because he's metal?
Or above yours. Yeah, but shouldn't it be more resistant to freezing?
Like, I don't know.
That just seemed like a gamble to me. And they were very, very confident. I was like, there's a good chance that your fleshy exterior is going to freeze or get frostbite before his artificial exterior, I would think. But of course, luckily not.
Luckily not.
We did have like the stereotypical, we're going to have an emotional heart-to-heart mid-chase. I was like, you've stopped running. You don't know that Badgie is struggling right now and you're going to have a heart-to-heart?
Yeah. all of that was very sinful for the fun. For the fun. I would definitely sin concerts where you have to stand and stare straight ahead and you can't see around people. Mm-hmm. You know, just the idea that none of them were like really looking up at stage.
Oh, so pretty much every concert ever. Stage.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate going to a concert where you stand up and the only way that you're going to see is if you're tall enough to see over the shoulders of the people in front of you.
Yeah.
As a 5'5" person, I don't enjoy that.
No, I haven't been to one of those in a very, very long time. I am now at an age where I want seating at my concerts, and it's very annoying when people stand up and decide to dance. Don't you enjoy yourself? You sit down and you listen to this as if it was like on Spotify. Like, don't get into the environment. Just watch this. Thank you very much. No audience participation for me. Why? I don't even know why they... I got really stuck on the badgie escape stuff. I don't even know why they chose to run up a steep set of steps. Incline to get rid of... Like, A, they wouldn't they have thought the badgie could float or is a machine and therefore can run? Like, physically, I don't think you're going to outrun the android. You need to hide or get weapons or just straight out running it seemed like a questionable tactic.
Yeah.
For two very smart people.
And why was it limited to the two? Was it limited to only programs he had created himself? Because there's probably other programs that would have given them advantages, like putting him in inside of a magnet where he would just be stuck to a wall or something. Yes. Like,
But then maybe Rutherford's head would be like,
that's
not good.
Good point.
Yeah.
Real good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, okay.
It's no worse than like my immediate thought was, hey, you should go on a Borg cube and then they assimilate Badgie. I was like, no, you do not want the Borg to assimilate Badgie. That is such a bad idea.
No.
That's a terrible plan. What else did I have? I had that. No, I didn't really have many more sins. Did you have any other big ones that might remind me?
Well, there is the moment when
Fletcher?
Boimler and Mariner are fighting Fletcher.
Mm.
They're fighting the machine that Fletcher created. And they're asking Fletcher to help. And they're saying, call the captain. And it's like, why can't you use the words that you are saying to yell at Fletcher to call the captain yourself?
That's a good point. Yeah.
And that kind of always bothers me. And maybe it's because they couldn't hit their badge because their arms were restrained or something. But there was plenty of time.
Like, so often people just say computer.
Yeah.
And then say the thing that they need to say. I know it's part of the show, but when the way Mariner and Dr. T'Ana interacted was very interesting to me. Like, I know, just like there was a big lack of professionalism. And I know that T'Ana is like irascible and Mariner is disrespectful, but it escalated so quickly that I just think Mariner would be in the brig. Like, that is not how you talk to a senior officer, even if she's like egging you on. Like,
well, but Mariner in season 1 seems to be the person that you're trying to figure out if you love to hate her or not. Mm. And she's so rebellious that maybe she just thinks she's above. I don't think at that point she really cared about whether or not she was with Starfleet. She was just dicking around more than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, maybe we should sin processed cheese in the future. Like, why are we still doing this? You know, like,
why are we
like
still
that.
Doing nachos and cheese? Yeah. Amazing. Anything else, Ambassador?
No, I think that's it for me.
Nice. Yeah, I love it. Just 22 minutes of fun and warp core noises. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. Cool. Well, we're recording this episode in a slightly odd order, so I have no idea what month it is right now. I hope everyone is well. I don't know what episode you listened to last week. I don't really know what episode you're going to be listening to next week, but if you want to find out, head over to Twitter, and we will be posting what episodes we're watching ahead of time so that you can watch them before the episode comes out, and if you want to join us for the live show as well. But until then, if my voice sounded slightly higher pitch today, it's because my plasma distributors have been inverted.
And if I sounded a little more zen, it's because I'm repeating to myself, float and magnet, float and magnet.
And live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
I am recording. Rock your body, mic check 1, 2.
I am recording. I see that you changed the background.
Wasn't me. Well, it may have been me.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
That's all. That whole song. Yeah. Aren't you impressed? I know it all.
I'm impressed you got all the words. I mean, the words have changed since I last heard it. Did you know that Riker pretended to be a chef in a different Star Trek TV show?
No.
So, have you seen any episodes of Star Trek Enterprise?
No.
So, the finale, and I'm telling you this because, like, we probably 99% won't watch this because it's the most... I mean, we may actually watch it because it's one of the most hated episodes in all of Star Trek, but...
Wow.
The season finale of the entire show, the show finale for Enterprise, undercut itself completely because they did, I think they did a 14-year time jump out of the blue for the final episode because they wanted to wrap up a ton of stuff, or it may have been 6 years. I don't know. It was a time jump. But the entire episode took the form of Riker reliving some adventures on the Enterprise holodeck, but based on the Enterprise TV show, which is set like 150 years before. So Jonathan Frakes just turns up as the ship's chef, and we're like, what's going on? And then he says, computer, pause program. And I was like, oh, so this isn't even about Enterprise. This is a TNG callback now. And so he is the ship's chef and is like a counselor to the crew of the Enterprise. So it was cool because we got to see the crew of the old Enterprise interact with Riker, but it was such a strange choice. So weird. Someone's the computer. Is our TNG sounder out of tune? Is it off? Yes, Captain. You have not changed the batteries in 14 years. Oh, it's overdue.
Beep.
I have a little communicator that when you press it and it goes, it still works. And it was my dad's, and I think he bought it when I was 11. But now instead of going, it goes.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's like it's really trying to make the sound, but it's just static. It's really sad.
No.
Bum, 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 bum.
Ba, ba, bum, bum, bum.
Right. See you soon.
Shoopity boo, doopity moo. Shooby dooby doo moo moo. Soo dooby doo shoo.
Shoo doo dooby doo.
I thought you left.
Welcome to 10 Forward, the part of the. Did you have to do that just as I was introing?
Hey, you're the one that's distracted and you're having a difficult time.
Sudden zoom.
That's not on me.
Goodness.
You know, you're supposed to be like the captain that knows how to like manage yourself.
Yeah, when people start randomly changing the view screen as it's in front of me, it's super distracting.
Josh Zero says, oh, I just thought, Captain Ian, you should have the ambassador watch a truly terrible Star Trek adventure. Spock's brain comes to mind.
So, this is one of the most infamous episodes of Star Trek. It's in season 3 of the original series. Spock literally has like a brain transplant or something ridiculous. It's a terrible episode. If we're going to do TOS, because so many of them are dated and terrible, I would pick one that's really good and really enjoyable to watch. For me, that's not even an enjoyable one to watch. But like the Balance of Terror, which is the one that the Strange New Worlds finale was based on, there's some time travel ones that are fun. There's loads of like that Time Warp episode that we searched the YouTube clip for is a great episode to do. So I would love to do some TOS with Danae. I'm not too sure how we're going to fit it into the schedule, but I kind of want to live watch you watching it and just like either like you'll eye roll at some of it. And then whenever there's some like technology or something or old school graphics, you'll just be like, it's so cute. Where is the Enterprise shirt? Danae, where is it? Where is it, Danae?
Well,
Danae, where is it? Danae?
Just Danae. Yesterday decided to try to go in and start to kind of like see what options we have. I can put together a really simple, just like the Enterprise like sticker. I can slap it on a mug. You know, we can do some simple stuff. But when I went to go make the shirt, unless I make it really, really simple, it would just be the Center Prize with like the CinemaSins M maybe on the back or something. And I just couldn't envision it. And I really would like to work with maybe like a designer or something so that we can do something that looks a little bit more official. I can slap logos on stuff and throw it up in the store.
Yeah.
Like almost as easy as I can make toast, you know, like it's not too difficult to do because we use Teespring and that's easy.
And it doesn't come out perfectly all the
time. Exactly my point. There is a shirt option where like on the sleeve you can put like, and I thought about putting the Center Prize down on the sleeve. So it's like a long sleeve shirt and you could have like the Center Prize this way. Yeah.
Then
maybe the other direction, because we have two images of the Center Prize. We've got the one where it's from above and then the one from where it's on the side.
Yeah.
And I thought about putting one on each kind of shoulder, essentially.
What about like one that's like face on and then one that's side view with like little arrow, like the diagnostic things coming off of it, like saying Cetacean Ops, Bridge, like do our own like schematic of what they look like,
man, that'd be
because like
cool.
The Enterprise D always has that on somewhere, and just where we have like the different departments, that would be really, really cool.
JC says, Star Trek question of the day: what time period would you rather go to in order for the Center Prize to conduct quote unquote historical research?
Oh man, for me it's the future. I know it says go back to. What time period would you rather go to? Time period future, then future. I want to go to I want to go to 2200, 2500, and the year 3000, and just see how things progress. Assuming that we arrive and we're not immediately like inside the sun or in the middle of a war or just there's no oxygen. Like I would want a cloaking device at the same time. Although in the future, they could probably detect.
See that. Yeah. I would say let's go back in time. Let's mess with the time a little bit. We are the Center Prize after all. Like we're not the Savior Prize. We're the Center Prize.
You know, we're supposed to observe the sins, not create them.
No. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to go fuck with stuff. That's what I'm saying. Is like, let the chaos fly free.
Yeah. I need to change the mission parameters. That's not what I signed on for.
At the very least, if we're going to like observe without interference, we should go to sinful time periods to do that. And then just like, I don't know, you know, there's no way I'm not wreaking havoc on some assholes. There's just no way, you know.
Everything in the past is sucks, though. It's just, it's horrible. Like, there's wars.
Let's go fix it.
Yes, because strangers coming in to fix other cultures' problems has always gone well. Yes.
That's what I'm saying, is we're the Center Prize.
Yep.
We're not coming in to make it better. We're coming in with the intentions of making it better and make it really bad.
We think we know best. Yeah.
Yeah. Personally, though, I would want to go to some time frames where things are like peaceful and calm. Like I want to go to a time where I'm tempted to stay forever, honestly.
Like I want to go back to when the Greeks were like inventing Pythagoras and like, well, I know it was Pythagoras, but inventing mathematics and like the Library of Alexandria, and just go there and like read the books and talk to these people that were working out where the Earth was in the solar system using like just
the most
basic equipment to figure out where we are in the universe without like any biases or like anything like that. Just we're going to invent some science to figure out where we are and what we're doing. Like, oh, it'd be so cool.
I want to have a conversation like, why didn't we evolve into mer people, you know?
Yeah,
I
want to
figure that out.
There's just not enough water on the planet, I imagine. Who knows?
Well, let's fix that.
Fire. Fire is probably the big reason.
I wanted to be a mermaid, you know, for a long time.
You want to find fire underwater.
The goal of mine was to be a mermaid when I was little. So, like,
I think that's many people's goals. Wait, chaos? Why do mermaids cause chaos?
If I'm flooding the planet Earth so that I can be a mermaid, that sounds pretty chaotic to me.
That sounds pretty chaotic. Yeah. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Slab says, I need Danae to watch all of the bad Trek because she always finds the positive in them. Honestly,
surprisingly,
that's,
I do.
That's
don't
a
I?
Brilliant mission. Like, if you can find positive in Spock's brain and some of the Stranger episodes.
I already found it in the Beverly Fuck Candle one.
You did! I think that's what Slab was referring to. Like, you found some, like, really deep stuff, but then we, like, did some research and was like, no, that's not what they intended at all.
No,
they were just making
a
sexy episode.
Yeah, I gave him a lot of credit. Last one's from Joshua. If it's future, I'd love to go to the post-Kirk, prime Picard, pre-Borg era.
Let me just get
very
my head
specific
around that. Post-Kirk, prime Picard, pre-Borg era. So we're talking about
TNG,
Picard
man.
In season one and season two of TNG, or him on the Stargazer, like him coming up through the ranks. Like, that would be interesting.
If I was actually on a Center Prize, I'd be so fucking excited because it means I get to see other planets. I would That's love the best, that isn't so it? Much. Like to see their cultures and races that like aliens that exist that do things so differently. I'm sure I'd find one, and I would definitely be the one that like gets addicted to the weird game, the Weird West game, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be that person.
Amazing. Ambassador, is there anything you need to get off your chest before we get into the show? Just that? Good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.